जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे,
The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 17th chapter, text number 20, given by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami, recorded on 2nd June of 1984 in Montreal, Canada.
Gopi jana bala bha, jivala dhari. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
For persons with impure vision, the Supreme Lord's eyes appear like those of someone who indiscriminately drinks intoxicating beverages. Thus bewildered, such unintelligent persons become angry at the Supreme Lord, and due to their angry mood, the Lord Himself appears angry and very fearful. However, this is an illusion. When the wife of the serpent demon were agitated by the touch of the Lord's lotus feet, due to shyness, they could proceed no further in their worship of Him. Yet the Lord remained unagitated by their touch, for He is equipoised in all circumstances. Therefore, who will not worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Anyone who remains unagitated in the presence of cause for agitation is called dhira or equipoised. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being always in a transcendental position, is never agitated by anything. Therefore, someone who wants to become dhira must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, dhira satana muyate. A person who is equipoised in all circumstances is never bewildered. Prahlad Maharaj is a perfect example of a dhira. When the fierce form of Narasimhadeva appeared in order to kill Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad was unagitated. He remained calm and quiet, whereas others, including even Lord Brahma, were frightened by the features of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timinandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshurmilitanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Datati Swapadantikam. Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamnan Shri Guru Vaishnavanascha. Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tham Sadevam. Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanatam Sham. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Jai Dvaita Gadadhar Shiva Chade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Asadrasho Yaha Pratibhati Mayaya Kashibeva Madhav Vasavatamra Lochana Naga Vadavo Rahana Shira Hiraya Yat Padayos Parshna Darshitendriya. So, the significant point here is the utilization of the word dhira. Prabhupada explains that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always in a transcendental position and is never agitated. Therefore, if somebody wants to become a dhira, he must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, the word dhira is explained. The word dhira is translated in the Gita, to mean a sober person. So what is the definition of a sober person? A sober person is one, as Prabhupada explains over here, who is never agitated by anything, who always takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And the result is that such a person remains equipoised in all situations. So devotional service means trying to become a dhira. And the example is cited of Prahlad Maharaj, how Prahlad Maharaj was a perfect dhira, because Prahlad was being harassed by his father and by the servants of his father. Prahlad was being harassed to give up his worship of Krishna, to give up his faith in the process of devotional service. But Prahlad remained undisturbed. Similarly, we also see the Pandavas. They were also severely harassed by Duryodhana and company. Dhritarashtra was always hoping that he would become the king. But when his brother Pandu died, the Pandavas are known by that name because they are the sons of Pandu. So when Pandu died, Dhritarashtra was hoping that now his son may be installed. So Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana conspired to inconvenience the Pandavas severely. But the Pandavas, because they were fixed in their meditation and in their faith in the Supreme Lord, they were actually undisturbed. And similarly, Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur also was attacked by the Muslim ruler. But because he was fixed in his chanting of the holy name, he was easily able to conquer and escape the effects of that beating. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased that Haridas was willing to take the beating rather than give up the holy name, that he personally took on the beating on behalf of Haridas Thakur. Similarly, there is another instance when Sanatana Goswami was in Jagannath Puri. Sanatana Goswami in Jagannath Puri, he was walking over the sand. He did not want to walk over the path, the roads, because he was concerned that he being so low in devotional esteem, he did not want to even brush against the body of another Brahmin. So Sanatana Goswami would walk on the hot sands of Jagannath Puri. But though the sand was very hot, because he was doing this out of a genuine recognition of his humility, out of feeling humble compared to the other devotees of the Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally tolerated the heat and nothing inconvenienced Sanatana. So the point is that in the Vedic history, there are so many instances where a devotee of the Lord has had to go through a lot of inconveniences, but by virtue of one's devotion and taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, the devotee is easily able to conquer over these obstacles, and at the same time, he remains completely undisturbed. So one has to become a dhira. This is being emphasized in this verse. Because the Supreme Lord is beyond the influence of the modes, because the Supreme Lord is transcendental, the devotee also has to become transcendental. Dhira means falling beyond the influence of the different modes. The Supreme Lord is divyam, and the devotee, by executing the process of devotional service, he also is able to cross over the influence of the modes. But that is only possible, as Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, if one takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So a devotee, while engaging in devotional service, he automatically develops good qualities. In the Bhagavatam, it is said, by rendering devotional service under the direction of the spiritual master and Krishna, a devotee automatically develops all good qualities. The different qualities of the devotee are described in different revealed scriptures that we follow. For example, the Bhagavad Gita talks about 20 different areas of knowledge, and the Chaitanya Charitamrita talks about different qualities of the Vaishnava. Lord Kapila also, in describing the characteristics of a saintly person, describes certain qualities to his mother Devahuti. So there is reference in the Vedic scriptures to these different qualities for a purpose. That is, it shows the richness of the character of the Vaishnava. Yesterday we talked at length about the character of the Vaishnava and how the Vaishnava is an exemplary example of perfect Krishna consciousness. And because the spiritual candidate is ideal example of Krishna consciousness, he is able to establish the principles of religion. After all, if we want to establish religious principles, it is not that we just have to memorize certain slokas or salient features of our philosophy and broadcast these salient features. If you want to establish religious principles, then we have to be an ideal example of Krishna conscious character. Because by being an ideal example of Krishna conscious character, Chaitanya Charitamrita confirms, one can establish the principles of religion. So the different qualities that one needs to develop, which will enable one to have a sound Krishna conscious character. Just like in mundane world, when a child is being brought up by parents, the parents try to build a certain character in the child. Of course, these days, this important point is being totally forgotten. But there was a time when parents used to concentrate on building the child's character. So similarly, as we pursue the spiritual path, we should also strive to build a spiritual character, a Vaishnava character. And the Vaishnava character is developed as one develops the different qualities that enrich the character of the Vaishnava. So the different qualities that are there in the scriptures, they are there for a purpose. It is not that these qualities are there just as a formality. These qualities are there for a purpose. And the purpose is to make us conscientious about these qualities so that one can strive to develop these qualities. So some of the qualities of the Vaishnavas are described in the Madhya Leela section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. They had 26 qualities in total. And some of the important qualities are Kripalu, Akrata Droha, Satyasara, Sama, Nidosha, Vadanaya, Nidu. So we shall discuss some of these qualities briefly. So the first, which is described by Krishna's Kaviraj, is Kripalu. Kripalu means that the Vaishnava is very merciful. The difference between the devotee and the non-devotee is the understanding that only devotional service can satisfy one. Whereas the materialist is thinking that some material arrangement will ultimately be the solution. Just like the United States society is now being made to believe that with the conquest of space, they will be able to conquer over a lot of the diseases that they have not been able to conquer over. Now the United States government is granting licenses for the establishment of factories and laboratories in outer space. And even the President of the United States is on record of having said that these medicines will conquer a lot of the diseases that cannot be conquered at the moment. So the materialists are busy making a variety of plans by which happiness can be found, just like Prahlad Maharaj also says, yadi arteva karmani vidvan mani asrakan nara karoti ato viparyasam amogam vidanti phalam. Prahlad Maharaj, being an idol Krishna conscious devotee, laments at the plans of the materialist which lead them to believe that by some material arrangement they will be able to solve the problems of life. So the devotee, however, unlike the vision of the materialist, has a firm understanding that unless one takes to Krishna consciousness, there cannot be any relief from the miseries of life. Because he has a firm conviction that relief from the miseries of life can only be possible by Krishna consciousness, he is involved in distributing Krishna consciousness for the benefit of the entire society. So this is the true understanding of the word merciful, kripalu, merciful to the entire creation of the Lord, which includes the animals, which includes the trees, the plants, which includes all the species of life. So the Vaishnava, according to Krishnadas Kaviraj, he is very merciful. He views everyone equally. He recognizes that everyone is coming from the Lord. In the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, there is another perfect description of the Vaishnava. The Bhagavatam says that the ideal devotee is one who sees the presence of the super soul of all living entities in every being. Please understand this. It says one who sees the presence of the super soul of all living entities in every living being. So who is the super soul of all living beings? The super soul of all living beings is Krishna. So the ideal devotee is one who sees the presence of the Lord everywhere, in everyone. And one who sees the presence of the Lord everywhere and in everyone also sees and recognizes that every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So this is what is meant by having a spiritual vision. To recognize every living entity to be belonging to the Supreme Lord, to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the heart of every individual. Akrita Dhruva, that is translated to meaning humility. We had briefly discussed this point yesterday, but humility means that one generally recognizes that the others are more advanced. The others are rendering better service. The others are more qualified. The others are more dear to Krishna. This humility has to be genuine and not just artificial. In the material world, one's understanding of humility is to be very soft or to speak very softly. But spiritual humility means that one genuinely recognizes that there are other devotees of the Lord who are serving the Lord much better than I am. Just like when Yudhishthira Maharaj met Narada Muni. When Yudhishthira Maharaj met Narada Muni, they were both telling each other how great the other devotee was. Yudhishthira was telling Narada that how fortunate he is, that he's always traveling and broadcasting the glories of Krishna. And Narada was telling Yudhishthira that how fortunate you are. The Lord has taken birth in your family. So the devotee is always thinking that how fortunate this other individual is in the service that he is doing to Krishna. In the early days, we used to address each other as Prabhu, Master. So this has to be in the heart. Humility has to be established in the heart. Humility being established in the heart means that we generally accept all other spiritual candidates to be one's master. Do not think that by accepting other spiritual candidates to be one's master, one will be exploited. At times the fear is that if I am too humble, then others will exploit me, others will take advantage of me. But one should never forget that if we surrender to Krishna, then we have to have faith that Krishna will protect us. If we have surrendered to Krishna, Krishna will not let you get exploited by anybody else. When we want to take or adopt defensive measures against exploitation, it means that we are concerned that Krishna is not the supreme. It means that we have doubts that Krishna will protect us from being exploited. But a devotee who has surrendered, he knows that even what may be materially considered to be exploited is actually not exploitation. After all, if one is induced to increase his service, it is the candidate who increases his service who will be the gainer. Because ultimately, it is the amount of service that one does that will take one back to Godhead. So, the genuine humility means accepting others as one's master, accepting others to be very advanced. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to Banaras, there was a big conference going on of all the Mayavadi sannyasis. And all the Mayavadi sannyasis were sitting on a very elevated platform. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went there, he was just sitting at the entrance where the shoes are kept. And it is only later on, when he was requested, that he come inside. This was the humility he adopted. The Mayavadi sannyasis, they were considering themselves to be very elevated. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the personality of Godhead, but he himself considered fit to sit where the shoes are taken out. Sometimes we see that one devotee may do a particular service better than another devotee. But that doesn't mean that one should become proud or try to brag. Genuine humility means giving the credit for every success to the Supreme Lord and Spiritual Master. And then one considers oneself to be the doer, then one thinks that it is due to his efforts that the success was realized. What's the difference between the materialist and the devotee? The materialist would like to take the credit for his success, whereas the devotee wants to give all the credit to the spiritual master and Krishna. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was arguing with the Kashmiri Pandit, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was young, he was a big Sanskrit scholar. From his very young age, he was able to establish grammatical rules all linked up to Krishna. Just like when our kids grow up, we link the different alphabets to different spiritual names of Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a Sanskrit scholar, and there was once a big debate with the rival Sanskrit scholar of that time, who was a Kashmiri Pandit. So when that Kashmiri Pandit came to have a discussion with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated the Kashmiri Pandit in a debate. So the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were trying to brag and clap that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has defeated this Kashmiri Pandit in a debate on the grammatical rules of Sanskrit language. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped them. And he said, no. He didn't want to humiliate this Kashmiri Pandit. And he stopped them from laughing because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had defeated this Kashmiri Pandit. So this is genuine humility. In genuine humility, one doesn't want to brag of a success. Of course, we all have a desire to share our successes with others, but it should firmly be in the mood where one gives the credit to the spiritual master and Krishna. If that is the mentality, then one is practicing genuine humility. There are so many cases of genuine humility that are there in the scriptures. For example, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was being informed, was being read the Vedanta Sutra by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, even though his commentary was totally contrary to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's thought and the practice of devotional service, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu still very quietly heard this whole philosophy. It was only after hearing it non-stop for 7 days, when he was requested, did he speak up. So we have to learn to practice genuine humility, because that is a must if we want to make spiritual advancement. If we want to make spiritual advancement, one should be ready to offer all respects to others. And ready to offer all respect to others means one considers himself to be a servant of everyone. The Vaishnava is a servant of the entire civilization. This position should not be confused. The Vaishnava is a servant of the society, a servant of the other transcendentalists, a servant of the spiritual master, a servant of the entire disciplic succession, a servant of the Supreme Lord. And because he is a servant of everyone, he wants to serve everyone. So this mentality of service becomes beautiful when the service is accompanied by a humble desire. If one is humble in the execution of devotional service, then the service becomes beautiful. And if one is proud in executing devotional service, then the devotional service doesn't appear to be very beautiful, at least in the eyes of the spiritual master and Krishna. The reason this point is emphasized again and again, because this is one of the key characteristics for devotional advancement. On one occasion, Prabhupada explained that this Sikshastaka verse, Trinadapi Suni Chena Tarurapi Sai Shinuna Manina Manadena Ketinari Sadahari, this was the formula for developing love of God. But Prabhupada was once asked if he had a tonic or formula by which love of God could be developed. And Prabhupada said, yes, I know the formula how love of God can be developed. And he gave the Sikshastaka Shloka to chant the holy names of the Lord in a humble frame of mind. So this is very important, that we develop genuine humility. Genuine humility will come if we chant sincerely and we execute our duties as desired, as ordered and requested. Then, satyasara means truthful. This is also very important. Truthful. What does truthfulness mean? Different people have different understandings of what is truthfulness means. So what's the meaning of truthfulness? In the Vedas, there's an injunction that in the material world generally, only palatable subjects should be spoken. So it may appear that there's a little bit of contradiction. Because when you speak the absolute truth, most of the people will be offended. Isn't it? When you speak the absolute truth, most of the people will be offended. This is natural. So how do you reconcile this point? That on the one hand, there is the statement in the Vedas that in the material world, only what is palatable should be spoken. So how do you reconcile that? Prabhupada has explained this point, that the Vaishnava will only speak palatable words, but when it comes to the Shastras, he will not compromise. When it comes to the scriptures, he will not compromise. But otherwise the Vaishnava will only speak what is palatable. So what this means in reality is that we have to be convinced about the truth and we have to speak the truth. But we can speak the truth in a palatable manner. For example, even now the Bhagavatam says, Shva vedvara hosta khare samtu ta purusha pashu na yat khana patopeto jati nama gadagrajaha. The Bhagavatam says, dogs, hogs, camels and asses, they are busy glorifying other dogs, hogs, camels and asses. And these people never get attracted to the divine messages of the Supreme Lord. So, this means that when we are preaching, you don't go and tell the materialist, you're a dog or a hog or a camel and an ass. You don't go, Mr. So-and-so, you're a dog or a hog or a camel. But you can speak the truth in a palatable manner. Mr. So-and-so, you look to be such an educated, nice man. Why are you imitating the activities of the animals? So the point is, the truth has to be spoken, but the truth has to be spoken in a very palatable manner. Of course, even if you went to an individual on the street and said, hey, you're a dog or a hog or a camel or an ass, you're not actually committing an offense, because you're just repeating the words of the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is making that point. So if you're repeating the Bhagavatam, how can you go wrong? But we have to learn the technique of presenting the truth, but presenting it in a palatable manner. So this is where the Vedic injunction that in the material world one should not speak anything unpalatable comes into play. We have to employ our intelligence to speak the truth but to speak the truth in a palatable manner. And when it comes to the scriptures, we do not compromise at all. Just like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan parties were doing kirtan, the Muslim ruler, the Qazi, he became very offended. Actually, the Qazi was not so offended on his own, but the different Muslims in that locality, they were all saying, how are you letting them chant the names of Krishna? Go and stop it. So then the Qazi, ultimately, due to the pressure, he had to stop it. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he heard that the Sankirtan was stopped, then he came to meet the Qazi. And he had a long discussion with the Qazi. He said, how can you kill your mother? Now, the Muslims kill the cow. And the cow is considered to be like one's mother. Because the cow gives milk, which sustains one when one comes out of the mother's womb. And he said, how can you kill your father? That's the bull. The bull cultivates the land. And then the land produces grains. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the Qazi, how can you kill your mother and father? And then there was a logical discussion. And in the end, the Qazi surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at his lotus feet and accepted him as the personality of Godhead. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was able to convert these people by logic and argument. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was once in Banaras, where he met all the Mayavadi sannyasis. And the Mayavadi sannyasis, as we know, their philosophy is different from the Vaishnava philosophy. Then, even the stone-hearted individual can be melted. This we should always have faith. There are four principles of religion: austerity, cleanliness, mercifulness, and truthfulness. These are the four principles of religion: austerity, cleanliness, mercifulness, and truthfulness. And the first three, austerity, cleanliness, and mercifulness, are to a great degree absent in the present Kali Yuga. In the Kali Yuga, the saintly instructions are hidden. Just like when it is cloudy, the clouds hide the sun. So in Kali Yuga, these three characteristics of religion are absent to a very great degree. The only characteristic that holds weight or is valid in Kali Yuga is the characteristic of truthfulness. Truthfulness can still be practiced in Kali Yuga. Now, what does this mean? It means that if we logically speak the truthful message and philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the insincere will be attracted to the truthful message. We do not have to just speak lies. Sometimes the devotees, because on some kirtan, they have to speak words that may be palatable to the materialist. They just develop the habit that they can just speak lies all the time. A devotee should be truthful. This is what it means to be a Brahmin. Prabhupada gives the example that there was once a class of children, and the teacher told the students to please go and inquire, what's the name of your father? So all the students went home, and each of them asked their mother, what's my father's name? So this one boy asked his mother as to who was the father, and the mother said, son, if you want me to be honest, I don't know who your father is. And then the boy came back to the school the next day, and he told the teacher that my mother doesn't know who my father is. And then the teacher said, oh, you are a real Brahmin, you're a real honest man. And the teacher was very happy. So the devotee has to be truthful. We have to learn to speak the truth in our dealings with other Vaishnavas. When we are out distributing paraphernalia, we may have to adjust our talk. We may have to speak things which are a little more palatable to the materialist. But that should be only done when it is absolutely necessary. We should not develop the habit that we can lie with each other, or we can lie to the spiritual master, or we can lie to other Vaishnavas. This is very deplorable. So we have to be truthful in our dealings with each other. So this quality of truthfulness is very important. The devotee has to be truthful, but the truth can be expressed in a palatable manner. And if we speak the truthful message of Krishna consciousness, then the sincere will be attracted to the process of devotional service. About this there should be no doubt. And the fact is that the Krishna conscious movement is gaining strength day by day. And the reason the Krishna conscious movement is gaining strength day by day is because people are being attracted to the truthful message of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. If people were not being attracted to the truthful message of the scriptures, then how would they take to devotional service? They would never take to devotional service. So we have to have faith that in Kali Yuga also one can survive by being truthful, but we have to learn to present the truth in a palatable way. This is what it means to be a devotee. A devotee means that he is an expert in preaching the Krishna conscious philosophy according to time and circumstances. According to time, circumstances and place, one should be expert in presenting the philosophy. Place is also important, time is important, circumstances are important. When you are out doing some kirtan, one is in a different circumstance and one may have to concentrate on the features of the product, etc. But besides that, one should always just speak the truth. And speaking the truth means always talking of Krishna. This is what it means to be truthful. One has to be truthful in his mission. One has to be truthful in his purpose. One has to be truthful in his determination. If we are not truthful to our own selves, we are just digging our own grave. If a devotee is not truthful, then it is not that he is deceiving anybody else. He is just ruining his own spiritual life. Sometimes we avoid being truthful, hoping that we will be able to get away by a bunch of lies. But the truth will always catch up. And when the truth catches up, then it will haunt one. So the point is, body should be truthful. And if one is truthful, then he will not be haunted. And if one is not truthful, then one will always be haunted. Then the guilty conscience will disturb the peace of mind. So one has to be peaceful, and being peaceful means one has to be truthful. All these qualities are interrelated. We cannot say that I'll be merciful, but I will not be truthful. One cannot say that I will be merciful, but I will not be humble. One cannot say I will be humble and I will not be truthful. All these qualities are interrelated. Just like in a machine, even if one part is not there, then the machine doesn't work, isn't it? All the parts have to be there. Even one small piece is missing, then the machine doesn't work. So similarly, all these qualities have to be developed. And if all these qualities are developed, then one can develop a sound Vaishnava character. And if one has a sound Vaishnava character, then one will be able to exhibit idle Krishna conscious behavior. And if one is able to exhibit idle Krishna conscious behavior, then one will be able to establish religious principles easily. Because then the Vaishnava character will be so idle and so impressive that when the non-devotee sees this exhibition of Vaishnava character, his heart will melt because he would have never seen something like this before. So we have to be truthful in the practice of Krishna consciousness. And our truthfulness starts with our first commitment to the chanting of these 16 rounds that we are assigned. This is the most important point. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he met Haridas Thakur, he asked Haridas, "What is your disease?" Haridas Thakur in his old age was very sick. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Haridas, "What is your disease?" And Haridas in his old age was still chanting, but he wasn't able to chant 300,000 times a day. Haridas's standard was 300,000 times a day he would chant the Hare Krishna mantra. But in old age, he was not able to chant 300,000 times a day. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was told by Haridas that my disease is that I'm not able to chant my rounds completely every day. This was his disease, he said. He was a little sick. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what is your disease? Have you determined what your disease is? Just like sometimes one may be sick. So someone comes up and says, what's your disease, Prabhu? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what is your disease? And he said, my disease is that I'm not completing my rounds every day. I'm not chanting 300,000 times a day. So the Prabhupada explains that the disease begins when one is not doing his 16 rounds. So we have to be truthful. We have to first complete our 16 rounds. We have to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. We have to follow the guidelines of the Shastras. We have to work, we have to follow the Vaishnavas. And that is what it means to be truthful. We should always be truthful to the mission ahead of us. The mission ahead of us is to inject Krishna consciousness, to become Krishna conscious, to become a dhira, as this verse is pointing out. So we have to be truthful in the execution of Krishna consciousness. Another characteristic is sama. Sama means equal to all. In the material world, the world is being divided into friends and enemies, haves and have-nots, does and hawks. Almost every section of society is divided into some section. Countries are divided into the capitalistic bloc and the socialistic bloc. But the devotee views everyone equally. And this is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gaivi Hastini Shuni Cheka Shuni Chaiva Shapake Chasa Pandita Samadashna. He sees everyone equally. So earlier we had made that statement from the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, which says that the devotee sees the super soul of all living entities within the heart of everyone. So this is what it means to be equal. After what is the basis of being equal? There has to be some basis. The reason why the devotee is equal to everyone is because he sees the Lord in everyone's heart. He sees that Krishna in the form of Paramatma is residing in the heart of every individual. And he not only sees that Krishna the Paramatma is residing in the heart of every individual, but he also recognizes that different entities are in different species due to the operation of the law of karma. Because he sees the different entities are in different bodies due to the operation of the law of karma, he is respectful to all entities. The example is cited of that hunter, how that hunter became reformed by the association of Narada Muni, and then he was so cautious that he did not want to even step over an ant. So by exhibiting an idol Vaishnava behavior, one is able to realize the mercy of the Lord. Narada Muni was once asked, how did he become such a great devotee? So Narada Muni said that I was a simple boy, the son of a maid servant, but I was exhibiting idol character in dealing with the other Vaishnavas, and then by their mercy, I was empowered to become such a great devotee and do this great mission. So the point is, by exhibiting an idol Krishna conscious behavior, the Lord becomes very pleased, the spiritual master is pleased, the Vaishnavas are pleased, and then one becomes empowered to move mountains. The devotee can be empowered to move mountains, but it is all based upon the degree to which we are willing to give up sense gratification. When we abstain, or when we do not develop these different spiritual qualities that we are discussing, when we are not striving to develop an idol Vaishnava character, then again we are engaging in sense gratification. Sense gratification is practiced in different levels. There is a gross sense gratification, and then there is a subtle sense gratification. Subtle sense gratification means meditating on sense gratification and always wanting to be honored, always expecting praises, and so on. So the devotee, he is equal to all because he sees the hand of the Lord everywhere. But even though the devotee is equal to all, even though the devotee is very humble, Still, it is explained, the Vaishnava also becomes as hard as a thunderbolt. Now, how do you reconcile this? The statement is that the Vaishnava is as soft as a rose and as hard as a thunderbolt. How do you reconcile the two? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been described to be the most merciful incarnation. Rupa Goswami, when he met Sanatana Goswami, when they met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what did they say? Nama Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. You are the most merciful incarnation who is freely distributing love of God. So on the one hand we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's character of being as soft as a rose and being very magnanimous. But on the other side, there is also the case where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acted like a thunderbolt. When he saw that Jagai and Madai had attacked Nityananda, he released a Sudarshan Chakra. He acted like a thunderbolt. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that Chota Haridas had glanced at a woman, he banished him from his association. Because in a renounced order, he was not supposed to look at women lustily. And when he saw that Chota Haridas had broken the injunction, he became as strong as a thunderbolt. So that is the nature of the Vaishnava. He is as soft as a rose and as strong as a thunderbolt. Both the characteristics of the Vaishnava have to be present. The Vaishnava cannot be foolishly merciful in all situations. And if one is not merciful, then he is accused of being very stone-hearted. No. We can see in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life how he exhibited being firmness and softness. We also see in the life of Prabhupada how he exhibited firmness and softness. So when it comes to sense gratification, we should be as strong as a thunderbolt. When it comes to give up nonsense activities, we should be as strong as a thunderbolt. And when it comes to distributing Krishna consciousness, we should be very compassionate and as soft as a rose. So when we see somebody is desirous of sense gratification, when we see that one is not surrendering to the platform of devotional service, when we see that somebody, even after initiation, is still maintaining material desires, then it is the business of the Vaishnava to be as strong as a thunderbolt and to correct those discrepancies. It is not that the Vaishnava doesn't correct the discrepancies, but one may do it in a palatable way, but one has to discharge his duty. When a Vaishnava doesn't correct the material desires of another Vaishnava, then one is failing in his duty. Then one is not being truthful. And as Vaishnavas, one should not expect that he will constantly be honored and he will not be chastised. That again places such an individual in a very difficult situation. So the point is that our philosophy is that we can be as soft as a rose and as strong as a thunderbolt. And when it comes to distribution of Krishna consciousness, we are as soft as a rose. We are willing to sacrifice inconveniences for the cause of distribution of Krishna consciousness. And when it comes to the mistakes in executing spiritual life, one should be as strong as a thunderbolt. Just like Prabhupada was, I'll mention this instance earlier, Prabhupada was once giving a series of Bhagavad Gita lectures in Rishikesh. This was in May 1977. And Rishikesh is a place in northern India which is full of Mayavadi sannyasis. So Prabhupada was criticizing the Mayavadis' philosophy. So there was one lady in the audience who said, Swamiji, one doesn't expect saintly people to criticize others. And then Prabhupada retaliated by saying, when you have a boil, you don't blow over that boil, but you press the boil. So similarly, the business of the spiritual master is to press the boil. Naturally, when the boil is pressed, the patient will shout. Just like when one goes to undergo an operation. When you go into the operation room, naturally the operation is going to be painful. Everyone knows that getting something operated is going to be painful. But But one is willing to be operated because one recognizes that this operation is for one's ultimate benefit. It's going to give him little pain now, but in the long run there's going to be happiness. In that long run there is going to be relief. So similarly, we must recognize that if we have to give up sense gratification, it may be a little painful, but in the long run it is going to give us relief. And because in the long run it will give us relief, we have the strength to undergo the so-called inconveniences. So one should not be scared of being corrected. The Vaishnava is always ready to be corrected. The Vaishnava is always scared, praying for the blessings of others. Once an old man came to Prabhupada and said, "Swamiji, please bless me." And Prabhupada said, "You please bless me. I need your blessings." So we all need the blessings of the Vaishnavas in order to make spiritual advancement. And the stronger our spiritual character is, the greater will be the spiritual advancement that one will be able to make. So the devotee's vision is to see everyone equally, to see everyone as a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And because he sees everyone as a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, the devotee is merciful towards all living entities. So these are briefly some of the qualities that are described in the Madhya Leela. There are many more which we can discuss at another time. But these are some of the most important qualities, and it would be wise to meditate on these qualities, to endeavor to develop these qualities, and one will see that the beauty of devotional service will become so strong once we develop these qualities. Just like the Chaitanya Charitamrita says that devotional service is like a beautiful garden in which there's unlimited honey. And the material mind should get attracted to that beautiful, to that honey by walking into the garden. So devotional service is indeed a very beautiful garden. And just like the bee is attracted to the honey, the mind can be attracted to this honey of devotional service. But in order for the mind to be attracted, we have to develop these different qualities of Vaishnava character. And if we develop these different qualities, then the mind will always be situated in executing devotional service. So the mind has to become firm like a mountain. The mountain remains unagitated, whether it's cloudy or stormy. So similarly, the devotee, the dhira, he is unagitated because his mind is fixed in the lotus feet of Krishna. The ocean, when there's a little bit of disturbance, the water in the ocean begins to move, shake. We can see the trembling. But the mountain doesn't tremble when there's a snowstorm or even if there's a thunderstorm. So the Bhagavatam advises the spiritualist to develop his mind, to make his mind as firm as a mountain. And that is what it means to be a dhira. Dhira means having your mind like a mountain, remain undisturbed in all situations. And the reason we are able to remain undisturbed in all situations is because we are fixed in the execution of devotional service, which means one is fixed in taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. We must recognize that we have no other place to go but the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Hence, we have no other activities to execute but the activities of devotional service. This should be the meditation of the devotee, and then devotional service will always look beautiful. Hare Krishna.